Hello, folks. Ladies, I have a special message for you about HelloGiggles.com. HelloGiggles.com was founded by actress-musician Zoe Deschanel, producer Sophia Rossi, and blogger web personality Molly McAleer. HelloGiggles.com is the ultimate entertainment destination for smart, independent, and creative females. Everything hosted on the site will be lady-friendly, so visitors need not worry about finding the standard boys' club content that makes many entertainment sites unappealing to so many of us. All right? That's HelloGiggles.com. It's crazy for the ladies. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host, welcome to the show. Welcome to our very first themed week. Yep, I've got two different, like, individual members of the same group on the show this week. First up, today, my guest is Emily Gimble. She is a musician here in town. She plays, she sings, she plays with the Warren Hood Band, and she also plays with the Marshall Ford Swing Band. And I saw her play a few months ago with Todd Wolfson, my good friend at the Monkey Nest, and I was blown away by her talents, so I asked her to come on in. And so we have a great conversation that's coming up. Let me tell you what's going on with me, because, dude, it is a lot, okay? First of all, let me tell you, if you listen to last Friday's show, you know that I went out with my girlfriend and her dad and her stepmom. We went to dinner and went to go see some music at the Continental Club Gallery. I have no idea who it was that we saw. Not because I was wasted or anything, just because the name wasn't on the marquee or anything. But they were great. And the dinner went well. I think that we got along. Everything was good. It was a totally good thing. They're totally nice people from Baton Rouge. So that's done. Okay, so you know that Jake was staying with me because his car got flooded out. And I told you about that adventure in the last episode. Well, with the floods, living by the lake comes a problem. So Friday, before I went to dinner, I was going through my pantry food that I keep on the top of the fridge, like a loaf of bread, some chips, and some breakfast cereal. I look at the bread and I notice that there's like a chunk pulled out of the top of it, and I'm like, oh, Jake must have just taken a piece of bread. Check it out, because I've been talking about it. This rosemary sourdough. So I'm like, that's pretty cool. So I go out to dinner, and then I drop off Lori. I come back to my place. I go, hey, maybe I'm going to have a little toast before I go to sleep. And then I notice there's a giant chunk missing. Then I realize, yes, rats, people. I've got rats, okay? And they're breaking into stuff, and they're getting into stuff in the garbage, and they're becoming unruly. And then I had this totally weird experience yesterday, which was Sunday. I ran into the lady that manages the apartments here, and she's walking around, and she's like, oh, okay, so this is the deal. The rat situation, and they kind of blocked a hole, and that didn't work. The rats were still coming. I don't know where they are, but they're freaking me out. The whole idea freaks me out. Anyway, so she comes over, looks at the thing, and is like, yeah, we're going to have to try and trap them. So that's what we're doing today. Okay, so yesterday I go get in my car to go to dinner with Lori, and my brakes are just totally freaked out. So I've got rats. I've got a car I had to take into the shop today. I had Jake had to get to work, and I didn't know how I was going to take him with this brake situation, but I risked it, and I went and I took him to work like a good friend, and then I went and dropped off my car. I do have a new membership to Car2Go. So I did that, and I went out. I got a Car2Go. Because they have like four of them in front of my apartment here. So I jumped in one, went over to HEB, went over, checked on my dogs. It was a great experience. I like Car2Go. It's a great thing. But this rat situation, I don't know what to do about it, man. I have no idea what to do about it. I played a gig Saturday night. I came back, and I thought the rats would have stopped, because that's when they came and boarded up what they thought was the hole. But then the rats were coming in. They were getting in the garbage. They were getting in the chips. These fucking guys are relentless. Fucking rats.
Life goes on. The world keeps turning, and life goes on. Life goes on. The world keeps turning.
All right. My guest today is third generation Texas musician Emily Gimbel. Her grandfather is the great Johnny Gimbel. Her father is Dick Gimbel. She plays with the Warren Hood Band, and they have been out on tour this summer, backing up Hayes Carl. I actually saw her this summer playing with Todd Wolfson at his Monkey Nest show, and it was fantastic. I was blown away by her talent. Got a hold of her. It's been a while. Now we sat down and got to talk about this. This is a week. This week I'm doing like a theme series. It's Emily Gimbel and Warren Hood. So she talks a lot about Warren and what she does with Warren. She also sings in the Marshall Ford Band. She does tons of musical stuff, and she's an extremely talented person. And we had a great conversation. So please sit down and enjoy the first in a series this week, my conversation with Emily Gimbel. Let's get down. Start with this thing that I was reading, this article that you did, an interview with Margaret Mosier. Mm-hmm. She's probably like an aunt to you in some way. She's
so sweet. Yeah? Yes, I love her.
Mm-hmm. She's kind of such a maternal person on this scene.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
The interview we did with Warren was definitely like sitting down with an old friend. Yeah. With Regals. It was so easy.
Yeah. It's nice to have that. I gotta scoot this mic over so I can see better. So you did say this one thing that the town is growing and it's changing, and now you see someone walking across the street, you could go up and ask them and they wouldn't even know who Doug Somm was.
I think that's something Warren said.
Oh.
But yeah.
I don't read very well. I'm illiterate. Okay, so that's something that Warren said, but do you have that same feeling?
Definitely, sure. I mean, I haven't been here quite as long as he has. I think I've been here for maybe 6 or 7 years. So, but things are changing with all the high rises and people coming into gigs. It seems like they don't respect music as much as people that have been here for a while and they know, you know?
Yeah. You know, I come from Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And there are places in this world where there's like my brother has the only albums he's ever owned are mine that I've given to him.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
That's wild.
And like they don't, I think my brother, the only times he's ever seen bands is when he came to see me, when they would come here to visit.
Right. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is.
It's not important.
Right.
To them.
Yeah.
And here, before this influx of people, it was such a, it's, you know, the tradition of music here is extremely important. And I don't know about you, but like when I hang out with guys like anyone from like Van Wilkes to like, I can't even think, even guys like David Sanger, you know, mm-hmm. they're like of a generation before you.
Right,
and you look up to them, you respect those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Even David Sanger. He knows. I love that guy so much.
He's amazing.
And he is fantastic. And, the band that he's in, do you ever play with them? Do you ever play with Asleep at the Wheel?
I played with them twice. Once in Dallas for New Year's Eve. They just needed a piano player and they asked me to play with them and I was terrified. But it was fun. But just, you know, offhand gigs. It was never been a current, like a steady thing.
Right, right. Do you know him, Ray?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. My family photo albums are nuts. So he...
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's pictures of him with my siblings and from in the 70s, you know, and him and my grandpa are really tight. And
yeah, dad, of course.
So, yeah.
Did your grandpa play with him?
Yeah. They did some. They did a, I'm not really sure about all
your
the
Your grandpa
facts.
Is Johnny Gimbel.
Yes.
And he was with Bob Wills.
He played with Bob Wills for 3 years, very short time.
Oh, a short period of time.
But it was like.
A very.
It was one of the best
right.
3 years.
Right.
It was the best time to be in Bob Wills' band. And then after that, he moved to Oklahoma and was the house band at Kane's for a while.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that place. Have you played there?
I've never even been.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's kind of lame.
I played there a long time ago, but it is there. You get a sense of this weird, not just like the actual tradition of being like, you know, isn't it like the oldest dance hall?
I think something around like that, or something yeah. like that.
And they've got like a springs under the dance floor.
Awesome.
Some kind of weird technology.
But like then you, moon shoes.
Yeah, but then you go in the green room and there's this, you know, 8x10 of the Sex Pistols. So, you know, like one of the 8 shows that they played was there.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, so you're steeped in this tradition mm-hmm. of music.
Mm-hmm.
And you grew up, it said you studied Suzuki for me. I mean, did you come out playing?
My parents always encouraged me to play music.
Right. Your dad's a guitar player.
He's guitar, bass, mandolin, fiddle.
Who all does he play with?
He used to play with a bunch of people when he lived in Austin in the 70s, but now he's a teacher at a community college in Waco, and he's been there for like, oh man, I don't even know, like 25 years or something.
Oh, really?
Like
what does he teach?
He teaches bass and music business, and he'll teach fiddle and mandolin classes, lots of private lessons.
Dude, I bet he taught the dude that played with me in my band, Mr. Rocket Baby. He went to that McLennan community college?
Yeah, what was his name?
Brad Siegel.
I don't know. I bet he did. But sure. That sounds familiar, but I don't know. I don't know all the students.
I'll ask Brad. Okay, so so they encouraged you to play. Was it a must?
No, they were real cool about it. My sister and my brother everybody was encouraged to play music, which I think all families should do. It definitely helps your brain out.
Yeah.
But they put me in Suzuki, and fiddle is one of the hardest instruments to play. I don't know if you've ever played it, but
I've never even tried.
It's difficult because you got to, you know, have good intonation. And then the most difficult thing is getting tone out of the bow. And I just sucked. And even at a young age, I realized if I'm going to play this instrument, I better be good at it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was the thing that was blowing my mind about Katie that night that I saw you guys play.
Yeah.
Together. I was like, how do you play that weird thing next to your ear and sing?
Yeah, it's trippy.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want anything that close to my head.
And I'm sure it's loud.
Yeah.
She's great. I love
her. She's great. And you guys sounded so great together. Just beautiful. Do you guys play together a lot?
I've known her probably since I was 13 or 14 because she was at all the fiddle camps and fiddle events that I would go to as a kid. So we kind of grew up together. But
Tell me about fiddle camp. What was that? Was that, it wasn't sleepaway camp, was it?
No, I mean, there's lots of people around the country that have fiddle camps. Randy Elmore, who's a Texas fiddle player, he has one. And my grandpa used to throw a swing camp in Taos, New Mexico every year.
Oh, really?
So it wasn't specifically fiddle. People would come, they play guitar and bass, and little bands would form.
Yeah.
And that's how I ended up meeting the Marshall Ford guys that play in that band.
Right.
We all met out in Taos, New Mexico at that swing camp, so...
Oh, so you grew up with them, too?
Yeah, well some of I've known them kind of. Since I was 18, so that's 10 years. Or, no, since I was 20, probably, so, yeah.
Yeah, like 10
8
years.
8 years.
8 years.
Kind of.
You're a youngster.
Kind of.
Do you feel like a youngster?
Yeah, I don't really think about it that much. But.
You play like a veteran, I'll be honest. You do, and you sing like a veteran, too.
Thanks.
Like a seasoned veteran. What does that even mean? I'm sorry I'm being so weird today.
Like a seasoned
steak. Yeah, like a seasoned steak. A nice steak. So so you started out playing that. What made you want to do piano?
I don't know. I played guitar before that too. And both of those instruments were just really hard for me to connect with. I just couldn't make it happen. But when I started taking piano, and more when I started taking piano in high school, just practical, oh, this is C and this is F, here's, you know, the chords. I took classical a little bit, but the way classical is taught is not always the simplest.
No, it's not fun.
Yeah. So that started to make more sense, and it just felt natural.
Yeah.
And then I had this dream about... jamming with Ray Charles, and Tom Hanks was there. I don't know why he was there, but for some reason, after I had that dream, I was like, I think I could be a piano player. yeah, I'm going to try to do this.
Really?
Yeah. That really happened. I know it's and totally so random, like, but.
And then there was a thing there that said that Warren encouraged you.
Totally.
And Willie, did you mean Willie Nelson?
No, Willie Pipkin.
Oh, I thought you meant Willis. Like,
I've never got to meet him.
I never have either.
I did meet him once. It's a funny story. We opened up for him, me and my grandpa and my dad, which is really cool, and to get to do that with them. But before the gig, he comes up and his entourage is with him, you know, and he's going around and saying hi to my grandpa, and I'm like, here it comes. I'm going to finally get to meet him, and I'm here with my grandpa, which couldn't be any more perfect, you know. Right. And
because Willie kind of pays reverence to him.
Right.
Yeah.
Papa used to play with him all the time and phases and stages and all his older records.
Right.
Some of my favorites. And so he comes up to me, and right as he's about to shake my hand, some lady cuts us off and says, "Oh, are you Amy with the catering company?" I'm like, "No."
Oh.
And then the moment passed. And so I'm Amy from the catering company to Willie Nelson.
Oh.
Which is a really funny story, but unfortunate. One day I'll get to meet him.
I like that story, though.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious.
Is it? Okay, so then you started playing piano. When did you start? Right now you play with the Marshall Ford Swing Band.
Uh-huh.
And you play with Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Do you play out a lot as yourself?
No. I mean, I sit in, I guess, you know, I play with the Joe's House Band. I play with the Joe's House Band down on South Congress every Sunday. There's a band that plays from 12 to 3:30.
I'll go there.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, who all is in the band?
It changes out, but sometimes it's Lindsey Green, who plays.
I think that guy's awesome.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
Plays with Paula.
Yeah, I love him. And then my buddy Willie, who plays with Warren.
Okay.
Andrew Knopfsinger, who used to play with Bruce and Kelly and Marsha Ball. And
oh, cool.
Left-handed guitar player. And then various drummers, Corey Keller, Jim Starbird, and then different lead person. So it'll be me or Greg Izor, harp player in town. Jen Miori does it sometime, who plays with the Carper family. So it just kind of switches out every week. But then I also play on Monday nights here and there at the legendary White Swan with the little Elmore Reed Blues Band.
Oh, cool.
But no, I don't have my own.
You mean
band.
Over on 12th Street?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of wild over there.
Yeah.
Definitely see something interesting every time I go over there.
I used to live up the street from there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I went there because I think my friend was doing this comedy thing called Spike Club where it was insult comedy.
That sounds fun.
It's pretty fun. I mean, I don't get up and do it, but if they know you and you're out there,
right.
I mean, when I've gone to them, I kind of like I'm against a wall, like right. Please don't see me. So, what about the rest of the time? You're touring with Warren, and then you guys backed up Hayes Carl, right?
We did. That was fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's he like as a guy?
He's hilarious.
Yeah?
And pretty chill. Yeah.
Seems like it.
He likes to go out and, well, sometimes he likes to go out and, you know, hang out with people that were at the show and drink and have fun like that. But I had a really good time. He's a great storyteller. And, you know, off stage too, just has like...
Yeah, he's a real amazing. He's got that sort of like Towns Van Zandt thing, you know, like just want to hear what the guy's got. He's got something going on. He's got something to say.
Definitely does. Yeah. Have a lot of interesting stories.
How long was that tour?
We did, I think, 2 months with him, in the springtime. And then we did a week with him last month. And then we'll go up to Steamboat Springs and play with him in January.
Oh, yeah, at the big thing.
Yeah.
I played there once.
I did, too, for a tribute for my grandpa. And I haven't been back since, yeah. It was when I was first, like, starting to take solos on my piano, so that'll be different.
Is that something that's new?
When I first moved to town, I wasn't as confident on my playing as
When did you move to town?
Oh, man, it's 6 or 7 years ago, so...
You look pretty new.
Yeah, kind of. But I, you know, my grandpa's lived here all my life, so visiting him.
Come here, yeah. And you came here, obviously, to fiddle camp?
No, that was in Taos.
Oh, right. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so do you write?
A little bit. I'm just getting started.
Yeah?
It's never been, you know, first and foremost, it's like I need to learn how to play and understand music, you know, which hopefully nobody ever finishes learning how to play music. So that's going to be all my life. But I'm just kind of getting into songwriting, realizing that it's really how important it is. And if I'm going to have, you know, my own career, I have to also be a songwriter. So
you're looking to come out as an Emily Gimbel?
I'd love to. Yeah.
I thought you were for some reason. I really was. I was like, when you sent me those songs, I was like, well, these aren't. I mean, there was the one that you did with David.
Yeah.
And the Warren songs. I was like, well, what? I thought she had her own albums. You had your own albums. I don't even know.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, just from your confidence and the way that you played that night at the Monkey Nest, I was like, oh, this person's got their own, you know. Right. Obviously has their shit together, but obviously is their own entity.
I guess I am, but more as a, you know, kind of side woman. It's like a combo of those things, you know?
That's good, though. It's healthy. You're learning probably from great band leaders.
Yeah.
How to be a great band leader when it comes time for you to be one.
Warren is a great band leader, and I'm so glad that I've gotten to play with him and do all that. And we're still trucking along. We've been out on the road since March. Basically, I mean, home for a week here and there, but that's my first time to ever be out on the road this spring. So
how'd you like it?
I loved it.
Yeah.
But towards like last month, I'm like, I'm ready to be home for a little while, you know, just and practice and.
Yeah, because you don't practice when you're on the road. There's no way really
to. You're a piano player.
Definitely, but also you don't want to be the asshole in the van pulling out his guitar and like annoying everyone.
Or at sound check, running your scales and working on songs. Yeah.
So you do a lot of scale running and doing all that stuff.
I try
stuff.
To do just a little bit before I play, just get my hands warmed up. Just, you know, not really any brain theory work, just muscle work, you know. Because when you sit around and you haven't played for 2 days, your hands get a little bit stiff, you know.
Yeah. Do you have a piano at home?
Yes, I have an upright and then a Yamaha spinet like that. And
you know who gave me that piano?
Who?
Kyle Crusham.
Yeah, you.
Yeah. He's a bro.
I love him.
Yeah. So tell me about the music that you play. You play a music that is steeped in tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah, definitely.
Blues, swing, country?
Yeah. Most of it, yeah, definitely. With Warren and the Marshall Ford Swing Band. Yeah, I mean, with the swing band, it's kind of like a tribute, paying tribute to what my grandpa did. Milton Brown and Bob Wills, and we do some Roy Lanham and the Whippoorwills. Nat Cole, it's like, it's all that kind of stuff, you know?
Is that what you listen to?
For the longest time, yes. When I was 13, I think I first heard Ella Fitzgerald and got into that hard. And
now, what were you listening to before that? Backstreet Boys?
I listened. There was some good 90s R&B. I really loved that kind of stuff.
Shit, yeah. Jodeci?
Joe, what's that? We were looking this up last night. Who is that?
I don't know. Just names I've heard.
I don't know.
Boys to Men?
Sure, yeah, definitely.
Belle Biv DeVoe.
But I got into, I played a little bit of punk music when I was in high school.
Really?
But, yeah, just a teeny bit.
Guitar?
Yes.
Obviously not like punk fiddle.
No. Yes. I basically.
What were you listening to punk-wise that got you into punk?
I don't know, nothing. It's just what everybody listened to. Some of it was lame. I mean,
not like what, like early, but like were you like Ramones?
I love the Ramones. Yeah. I was definitely into the Offspring, but I don't know if you would call that punk. I liked Rancid and Pennywise and I'm trying to think, you know, all those people.
Yeah. Those are kind of post, like, I'm a lot older than you, so, like, right. When I think of punk, I'm like, oh, even, like, 80s, kind of, like, 7 Seconds, kind of, that stuff?
No, see.
Okay.
This is why I shouldn't talk about this.
No. It's not. I'm not trying to like.
No, I'm just saying.
I wasn't into it. I just know the names because I saw it on kids' notebooks and on the back of their jackets and shit. I'm serious. Some of these bands, I wouldn't know them if they were hitting me in the face, like Black Flag or something. I mean, I know everything about Black Flag, but I don't know one of their songs.
Right. Anyways.
Okay, so there was a punk moment. What were you covering punk songs? Or were you guys writing stuff?
We wrote songs.
What were they like?
I don't know. I wasn't a part of the writing. I was just there wanking on my guitar.
Did you, I mean, was it like a physical kind of like, you know what I mean? I'm sorry to get lost in this wormhole, but man, this stuff is great though.
It's hilarious, it really is. There's a video on YouTube, I think, and I'm just standing there, just whatever.
So you were the unaffected
guitar player. I definitely had fun, and then I got kicked out of that band.
What?
And it's a really cool story for spitting in someone's face.
Why?
Why
did you spit in the face?
It was some band argument, and I was just, I got so mad, and that was how I handled it, so... And that was appropriate, right?
Dude, can I just tell you, I'm Cuban, all right? And I used to be married to this lady, and we had this fight one time, and I can't remember what. I was just so frustrated, I didn't know what to do, and I spit at her, and she was like, did you spit at me?
Sometimes it happens.
Yeah, sometimes. I did it once. It's crazy.
Fits of anger.
Yeah.
Lead to spitting.
Hey, at least you didn't hit anyone.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
So you got fired for spitting at the first.
Well, I spit in his face, and then I kicked one of the other guys, like, CD wallets across the room, like, drop kicked it, and nothing broke. It was just, I was acting out.
Do you still have this...
No.
You go around raging?
No. I mean, I'm definitely an enthusiastic person. I can get, you know,
yeah,
enthusiastic about things, but I won't say that I'm like that.
On both ends. Like, yeah. You can get excited, happy, and excited.
Yeah. I like having that scope.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm definitely not like that.
How did you like working with Charlie Sexton?
Oh, he was awesome.
He's a nice guy.
It was really cool. And Donnie Wynn was there playing drums, and I love him.
Yeah.
He's got an amazing brain.
Yeah. And heart.
Yes, for sure.
Not a lot of people like that.
Unbeatable combo.
Unbeatable combo. Great hang. Soulful cat. He was on here.
Oh, cool.
One of my favorite
episodes. I need to listen to that.
It's really early on. Literally, like, I think, like, the 10th or 11th one. Anyway, so you worked with Donnie. Charlie, did he have any advice for you? Like, you get to be around people like Marsha Ball.
Oh, she's amazing.
These cats like this. Seasoned people. And do they give you advice that sticks with you ever?
I don't know if either one of them has ever outright just gave me sagely advice. But being around people, you could definitely pick up on stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Charlie was just really fun to watch work. Creative and took songs we've been playing for 3 years and made them sound completely different, which I really appreciated, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we've been doing it this way. Now change that, do it a completely different way. I think everyone should do that, you know?
Yeah.
Because you just get so stuck in,
yeah,
this is how we do it. I mean, right. Warren's real good about changing up feels for different things, especially songs that his dad used to play. But it was really neat.
Now, does he write a lot?
Warren, yes.
Yeah.
All the time. I think he always has like 20 songs in rotation.
What do you mean that he's writing?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of
He's stuff. Prolific.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys practice a lot? What's going on with that? Like with the Marshall Ford?
We just cut a record.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. This last week we were at Stuart Sullivan's place
for 3 days. Where is he now?
Right by Tommy's drum shop over there. It's pretty cool. I never got to work with him. He's amazing.
He's awesome, man. I like that guy a lot.
He just says the right thing at the right time, always. In 3 days of being around him, his energy was always just wonderful to be around.
Yeah.
And then every time he had something to say, it was either really hilarious or very helpful.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, so. That's I think he's really funny. I haven't seen him in a long time. I was thinking the other day, like, oh, maybe I should go in and say hi to him. And I was driving down South Lamar, and that place is a pawn shop.
It's, yeah, it's, or something.
Right? Something like, it looks
Cash punch. Advance, something or other. Yeah.
So you've been working with some great producers over the last year.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Who great else? Musicians.
Yes.
So we'll go back to this, though. Do you guys practice a lot? Do you go in, you work on these songs a lot? Or do you do that when you're going in to make a record or before you go on tour? Or how does that go?
Well, with Warren, we practice, as you know, when there's a new song to work up, or if something doesn't feel right, we'll get in there and try to figure out what to do different. And then we're going out next week. We've been opening up a few times for Gary Clark Jr.
Oh, that's great.
So we're going to be playing with a different bass player, so we'll rehearse him and do that.
That's amazing you're going out and doing that.
Yeah, I'm good friends with Zapata, who plays guitar, Eric, in that band, and so is Willie, and so they somehow made that happen. It was really fun, though. I actually hadn't got to see Gary play since all of his stuff has
since
happened.
Since he became Gary Clark Jr.
Great. It really is
great, isn't it?
It's inspiring, for sure.
Super inspiring.
Yeah.
And it's nice to know that that's still happening. The tradition of guys that come up playing as kids from the Continental Club and Antones that go out and really, you know, like Charlie.
Yeah.
And like, you know, Ian Moore and all these kind of cats.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone moves on to different stuff. So I was asking that because in my bands, and I'm a pop guy and a rock guy, and you really have to get your shit together. And everything has to be spot on. But with the styles of music that you play, there does have to be a certain amount of openness, because part of that tradition of music is to be loose enough to go places.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's like a jam band. Improvise. But you have to be able to improvise.
Yeah.
Because the swing, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Texas swing is a cross between country music and jazz music. Am I wrong?
No, that's right.
It's got more complicated and far more chords per song than a country song.
Right, yeah.
But still kind of has
more lyrics like a country song would have. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's almost like thinking man's country. And I do not mean that bad.
That's awesome.
But yeah.
It has elements from all the areas around the state, you know. There's a little bit of mariachi and Texas swing and blues from, you know, Louisiana, and then the stylistic music of the era that the music was popular, big band, you know, kind of that stuff. We don't really do that with the swing band because we don't have a horn section or a fiddle section, but all that stuff kind of plays into it, you know.
Yeah.
Who were the popular jazz musicians back then influenced what happened in Milton Brown and Bob Wills' band, so.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting. Do you feel like you are part of keeping that tradition alive?
Oh, I definitely.
Along with Warren.
Yeah.
And Ray.
Yeah, you know. Totally. I mean, and
even David Sanger.
Oh, totally, David Sanger. God, he is so amazing.
I think that's gonna be my new catchphrase.
And even his David wife. Sanger.
Yeah.
Elizabeth.
Yeah, Elizabeth's fantastic.
I love both of them.
Yeah.
They're both just like super positive, fun people to be around.
Yeah.
So.
So you do feel like you're part of that?
I'd like to think so. You know, just, you know, the fact that Johnny's my grandpa.
Yeah.
And I grew up around it, and I love the music. When I hear Texas swing or Western swing, it's like, oh, it's like makes my heart happy, you know, because when I was a kid, that's what I would hear.
Yeah.
So.
It's the music that you came up in.
Yeah.
You know, and with.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you listen to?
Now.
Like, what do you listen to?
I've been listening to a lot of Otis Redding.
Okay.
Because I sold my car, and I'm borrowing a car from my parents that has a tape player. And I have a buddy that gave me all these tapes, and so I've just been... I love Otis, but...
Are you a radio? You're not a radio.
I am. I definitely listen to KUT and 91.7 and what's...
But you're not like a... You're not twerking anywhere.
No. Look, I mean, I may have tried it. Whatever.
I mean, like, yeah, you didn't buy bangers when it came out.
No, the new Miley Cyrus. I mean, I've looked up some videos of her just because I'm curious.
But I mean, outside of just a pop culture curiosity, you're not like out, like, oh, Deadmau5 is coming to town, guys, we have to go.
Not really. I don't know.
That's okay.
Yeah, I like older music, but I'm into whatever. I'm just into good music. So if I hear something that's new, I'm like, whoa, what is that? Oh, cool.
Yeah. You know? Is there anything new like Janelle Monáe? Have you heard that?
That's a good album. She's great.
Yeah.
My friend Georgia, you know Georgia.
Yeah.
She gets me into all kinds of newer people. She's.
Oh yeah, you know my cousin Emily? She works with Georgia. Got real curly hair.
Yeah. Okay.
See.
I don't know if we've actually met, but I know who she is. Yeah.
Cool. You come up from a family tradition of music. I come from a family tradition of hair people. Not even people that cut it, just people that are super into it.
That's awesome.
What else? How was music college? Did you like that?
I loved it. I really loved it.
Did you graduate? Do you have a degree?
I have an associate's.
An associate's degree?
In vocal performance and a minor in piano. But, you know, I went to Crawford High School, so there was 25 people in my graduating class. It's a teeny tiny school. Wow. And they didn't really have any outlet for music at all. So, you know, I started, when I was a junior, I kind of started going and taking classes at MCC. So by the time that I was a senior, I only had 3 or 4 periods. And then I would go run off to work or school, you know.
Where'd you work?
I worked in an after-school care program for kids.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Do you have a job now outside of being a rocker?
No, I haven't had a day job in 8 years or 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Woo!
It's pretty awesome.
I was a barista for a week. That was my last job.
How was that?
Where? I sucked. My friend's mom had a coffee shop in Waco called Beatnik's, and I worked there.
Yeah, wait. Was it Katie Holmes?
She worked there too, yeah. I think she held her job quite a bit longer than me.
Yeah.
I
think she worked there once when I played there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I played there with this guy, Taylor Davis, at the end of a tour.
That's cool.
Yeah.
When was that? I wonder if I was still there.
2006.
No, I think I was here by then.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's kind of wild.
You know, do you ever worry that... you'll lose any kind of other skills outside of music, that if you ever try to go get a job, you'd be like, I don't know what I can do.
I could always work with kids because it reminds me of playing music. There's always something to learn from being around children, and it makes you happy.
Yeah.
You get emotional. It's the same kind of thing, but I don't know that I could get a good paying job being a nanny because I have no references. I haven't done it in so long, but.
Right.
That's probably what I would do. But no, I don't ever think about that. I'm just like, here we go. Just steaming along down this music path, see where it takes me. So.
And so, what else? Like what other kind of bands have you been in?
I don't know. It's all been, well, you know, I did a thing with Katie and this girl, Albany Folletta, that used to live in town. She now is living in New Orleans. And we had a 3-piece piano, guitar, fiddle, doing 3-part harmony stuff.
No, it's badass.
In like the 20s and 30s. It was a lot of fun. But then, you know, Katie.
Wait, songs from the 20s and
30s? Yeah, that's the so Boswell cool. Sisters and that kind of stuff.
Man, would you, I guess not a mixtape, but would you hit me to some of that stuff?
I'd love to, yeah.
I just was listening to this podcast that Nick Offerman was on. You know that guy?
Yeah.
He's married to that lady, Megan Mullally.
Yeah.
She's got this duo with some girl that was on Friday Night Lights.
Stephanie, it's Phoebe's sister. Yeah.
And they do that.
Yeah.
Kind of music.
It's super
cool. In fact, the band that you mentioned, the Who's Sisters?
Boswell.
That's, he mentioned them too.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is maybe I need to know about this.
They're fantastic. They also have a lot of YouTube videos that are super cool. Yeah.
Who else have you gotten to play with on stage?
Like
that would impress the audience.
I don't know. I got to, you know, one of my first gigs.
Is this too informal of an interview? Sorry.
No, I love it.
Questions.
No, I love it. It makes me feel comfortable. Normally, I would think I would be a lot more nervous.
Okay, good. So you were saying, sorry,
One of my first gigs that I got to play in Austin was a tribute to Cyndi Walker. that Texas Folklife Resources put on. You know who Rose Reyes is? Anyways, she...
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, because my friend Sarah Rucker...
Who is that?
...works with them.
Okay. Yeah, I think I met her.
Sarah Rucker.
Anyways, Cindy Walker was a woman songwriter who wrote You Don't Know Me. You know that song? You give your hand to me.
Yeah.
And
just so you know, the host of the show forgets to turn his phone off.
That's amazing.
All the time. it doesn't even faze me.
It's a nice ring. Anyways.
It's like a commercial for T-Mobile right now.
Yes. Purchase your new
T-Mobile. Oh, God, stop. It's my dad, probably.
That's swear. Cute.
He always calls during interviews.
He knows.
Hey, what are you doing? I'm just down here in Miami thinking about you. So,
Cindy Walker tribute. Okay. One of the first gigs that I got to play in Austin was at the Paramount. And the band was Lisa Pankratz, Cindy Cash Dollar, Sarah Brown, and Red Volkart was playing guitar. And which was so cool.
Yeah, what a cool.
And so that was like one of my favorite gigs was that. Getting to do that. It was really cool. And I got to sing You Don't Know Me in this tribute to Cindy Walker. I don't know how that happened. Somebody was like smiling down on me. Here you go. Have this opportunity. So it was really fun.
What was it? There was a quote. I meant to write it down. But man, my printer ran out of ink. I had to take my notes down with a pen.
The old-fashioned way.
What the fuck is that? can't even write. There was a quote. Somebody told you to practice and be lucky.
What, that's my grandpa.
Okay, say it.
Play every chance you get and be real lucky. Or play every chance. Something, no, I can't remember now that you asked me.
No, basically he said play every chance you get and try to be lucky.
Or yeah, something and like be that. Lucky, which yeah. is, you know, just take every opportunity that comes your way and make the best of it. And good things will happen.
The more stuff you do, the more chances you'll have to do stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
The more things.
There's a lot of people that don't realize that. You know, yeah. I sometimes get mixed up as a songwriter because I will not write for a while and then I get real precious about what I'm about to write. And then I feel like I can't write. And then I forget that it's just a muscle. Mm. And it's like if you go running mm-hmm. every day and then you take like 2 months off running, you try and run, you're going to kind of get up the street and go, oh, fuck, I want to go back. I don't really right. want to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good, I should use that as a thing on this show. I'm going to take your grandpa's quote, but I'll give him credit.
Cool.
Although we have similar close, Johnny Gimble, Johnny Gowdy.
Oh, yeah.
We could be friends. I mean, we would probably have been in the same homeroom.
Definitely. And your names would have been right next to each other.
Yeah. Maybe I should go to the record store and see. Maybe our names will be close to each other. Oh. I'm by the gourds in the record store.
Oh. Well, yeah. Well, I did do this record with my grandpa and my dad called The Case of the Gimbles when I was 19. That might be in there, but no, none of my own records.
How was yet. That? A three-generational thing.
It was amazing. I still listen. I mean, my voice is so much different now that, you know, I'm older. It's much lower. But it's precious, you know. That record will always be my favorite, no matter what
else. What a great thing to get to share with your family.
Yeah.
Like, what a neat thing to have, like, three generations of, like, family and musicians on the same record and making music together. That's just, do you guys do that when you're together?
Well, my grandpa doesn't play much anymore, because he's had strokes and he's lost, like, his ability.
But he's doing okay?
Yeah, he lives in Waco now, right. which is where my family lives. So they go, my mom and dad and sister and brother go visit him a lot.
Did you grow up playing like at Buzzard Billy's and Scruffy Murphy's and all those weird kind of like fucking...
I've been to all those places. I never really played a lot of gigs.
What was the place that had the hamburger, the Cheesy Ray Vaughan? I just remember like, I should not be playing here. This is too weird. Burgers and Blues.
Okay.
You remember that place?
I know what that place is, yeah. The Cheesy Ray Vaughan.
That
no.
was one of their hamburgers.
That's kind of...
Yeah, I was like, this isn't nice. Like,
yeah, that's
this is
rude.
Like...
It's a little rude.
Yeah.
Somebody should slap their hand yeah. for that. Give me your hand.
I think I did it just so I could order it. I'll have the Cheesy Ray Vaughan.
with extra cheese, please.
Do you go jam with people a lot? Like just regular, like, oh, hey, I'll come. Like, have you ever sat in with the Jitterbug Vipers? Oh. I saw your friends with Slim, right?
Yeah, I'm an original member of that band.
What?
What?
They were on this show.
Yeah. When I moved to Austin, I played with Slim. He was one of the main, that band was one of the main bands that I played with. Yeah. And it's all Viper tunes from the 20s and 30s.
Yeah, yeah,
songs
yeah.
About smoking weed. So can I say that?
Yep.
I said it. Cool. So I did that for like 3 or 4 years. And then when I got the Warren gig, I didn't have time to do that anymore. And Katie played with that band.
Yep.
And then Sarah.
My friend Sarah.
Yeah. And they, that is the best combination, is Sarah with Slim and Francie and Masumi.
Masumi,
it's
yeah.
so perfect.
Yeah.
And I love getting to hear them play. And she does that genre so well.
Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her writing is amazing.
Yeah, she's
and I
and
love
she's
it.
Good. She's good at writing songs from that time with that
right.
sentiment.
Yeah. Elizabeth and her did a song that's really cute. Stuff It. Have you heard it?
No.
You gotta hear that.
Wait, maybe I did.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I think
awesome.
I did. I think maybe Sarah brought it. Sarah's been on herself and also with the Jitterbug Vipers, and also Elizabeth's been on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I've been trying to get Warren on. I need to get him on. And also, he was talking to Tony Price, and does she doesn't have email?
I have no idea.
She doesn't seem like an emailer.
Probably not, yeah. Doesn't seem like it.
I want to do this with her.
That would be a great
But
interview.
I'm really intimidated by her.
She kind of is. She scares me.
Good. It's not just me.
Well,
there's
yeah.
There's very few people that do. I mean, like Bill Carter was a guy that used to just always like, I would always just like clam up and like, God, please don't notice me or say anything to me or make me talk in front of you because I'm just scared. But he's the nicest guy in the world. He's a pussycat.
That would be a great interview because she's got a ton of stories to tell.
I'll get on it today. I need to get Warren. We've been talking about it now. He was on a live show that I did with why am I drawing a blank on their name? With Susanna and Dan Dyer and
the Coveters.
Coveters. That's over.
I guess so.
I mean,
I never really got to see them play.
They were really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's really good.
Warren?
Yeah, and he's so nice.
He has got the sweetest soul.
Yeah.
He does. Yeah. He's a lot of fun to be on the road with.
I bet.
Yeah.
So I guess it is comforting to be out on the road. You guys are going out, what'd you say, next week?
And yeah, we're just flying up and we're opening up for Gary in D.C. and Boston. And then we have a one-off in Maine, I think. So that's like 4 or 5 days and we're flying
home.
Have
you ever been to Maine?
Yeah, I played in Bangor last year.
Wow, I've never even been to Maine.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Actually,
where are you playing in Washington, D.C.?
One of them is at the 9:30 Club. Is that?
Oh, that's the best. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the best.
And then I don't remember what the other place is. Something.
You're doing two shows there? Oh,
yeah.
In Boston. Boston's great. I like that town a lot.
Yeah, I think we played there a couple times this year, but I can't remember because being out on the road with Hayes and Warren have us kind of mushed in.
Yeah.
And then also, I went out with the Marshall Four guys 3 or 4 times to do festivals, and I had it happen twice this year where I'm like, hey, I played here this year earlier.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was going to be back again.
Yeah, yeah. You don't seem like a crazy partier on the road. You have your nights?
Definitely did a lot more drinking earlier this year, especially out with Hayes, because it's just like part of the territory.
Sometimes there gets to be that thing, especially when it's another band, you're on tour together, there
yeah.
gets to be like this kind of like gang.
Yeah.
You know, mentality, and everyone gets along and is in the same
yeah.
like headspace. You're just like always
yeah.
going out and like,
yeah.
yeah. I love that.
We definitely did that quite a bit, and Warren helped me walk back to the van a couple times. So they call me, after a long night of drinking, they call me the Grimble. Willie and Warren came up with that. I don't know why I'm telling you that right now.
No, it's good. What is the Grimble? Is that you're grumpy?
I just know I Grimble? Just turn into this alternate person. You know, a lot more dancing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the typical things that happen to
sure.
a happy drinker. But I've been trying to kind of lay off the sauce because I enjoy the sobriety thing.
You know what I don't enjoy, and it's I think as I'm older, is the feeling the next day.
Oh,
like now when
terrible.
I get hangovers, it's just like, and I can't like.
You can't do anything.
No.
Yeah.
And it used to be kind of a way to pass the day in the van, like fight throwing up and taking naps.
Oh, Lordy.
And try and just get to feel good by like 9:30 at night, if you can do it to feel good by then.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's weird.
The older I get, the less that I want to drink.
Yeah.
And the more that I would rather smoke or something, you know?
Sure, it's a lot easier on your... some people, it's a lot easier on their system. It definitely is on mine.
Yeah.
Anyway... also, there's not as many bad decisions. I mean, like, there's a drag when you're out on the road and there's somebody that, like, gets lost or goes to jail or, you know, I've had that.
Alcohol is a very interesting drug, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, were you playing tonight? You said you were playing a thing?
Yeah, I'm playing out by the lake for a private party with the Marshall Ford boys.
You guys do a lot of private stuff with them?
We do.
Weddings?
Yeah, more weddings, I guess, in the spring. I haven't done that many this last year, which is nice because I've been singing at weddings since I was like 14, probably, you know. And I love them, but I'm kind of tired of them. So.
Yeah, but it always keeps the day job away.
It does.
That's for sure.
You know,
I noticed that.
I'm thankful, super thankful for any private party that we get because, it pays the bills for sure. And it's always fun. You always meet people that are cool. But for some reason, weddings are different, like, you know, because it's so much more stressful. It's a more stressful situation.
Yeah.
And there's the coordinator who can sometimes just be like, so.
I'm in that band Skyrocket, but luckily, I'm kind of shielded from that energy because there's seven of us. And Trish and Darren, who are in the band, really spearhead that. I mean, guys like me and Kyle oftentimes will show up to a private thing and not know what the hell it's for. Like, I've gotten to a thing and I thought it was a wedding and I'm like, where's the bride? Like, this isn't a wedding. Yeah. This is like a party for some insurance company. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that makes it easier.
We're lucky like that because that is stressful having to deal with those and the timing and the you got to say stuff and like, welcome.
Announce things.
Carol and Dave.
You know, out Sandberg. Of all the hundreds of weddings that I played, there's only been like three that were hell. And this one time there was this wedding coordinator who was just being so rude. And like me and another person in the band were having a confrontation sort of with her about like, can you just not talk to us like that, you know, just to make it easier.
Oh yeah, and they treat you sometimes really bad.
And we were in this room with a card table, a big card table with thousands of plates on it. And at the moment that we were having this intense, like, conversation, one of the legs from the table fell out and all of the china fell on the ground and crashed in the room that we were in.
Wow.
It was like some weird energy force made that happen. It was incredible. Yeah. And then, like, there was no more tension because she was worried about the plates.
Yeah, you guys were off the hook.
Actually, I kicked the table over. No.
No.
No, I didn't. No, I wouldn't do that. But I might spit in her face.
Are you on Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're on Facebook.
I'm more active on Instagram and Facebook than
you are
on Twitter.
You are active. I follow you on Instagram.
I like that.
What's your favorite of the three?
Instagram.
I'm going back to this question.
For sure. Are we talking about that?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like it. It's cool, you know?
It is cool. You get to keep up with people.
Yeah.
I like Jazz on there.
She's great.
She's good at that. I like to see Ava doing stuff.
Oh, Ava's so sweet.
Yeah.
The last time I saw her, she was wearing this little bunny costume. And she came and just sat in my lap for a little bit. And I'm like,
oh.
She's a sweetheart. They all are. So.
What do you hope happens this year? What are you looking forward to the most for the rest of the year? It's only a couple months left.
Man, I'm looking forward to some time with my family.
Yeah.
Because I'm really close to them. So.
Good.
And my dad, like, had a stroke last week and
weird.
He's fine, okay. But you know, little things like that happen and you're just like,
yep.
I've been gone all year and I'm really close to my dad. I just want to go hang and talk, you know?
Yeah.
And I have a niece and nephew that are so sweet and I love getting to hang out with them. But
are you the youngest of your siblings?
Yes. Yeah. My sister's 6 years older and my brother's 8, so quite the baby.
You guys are close, tight?
Yeah.
Good.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, we lead completely different lifestyles, for sure, and so that's a big difference, but we love each other a lot, so
people that are in New York can see Emily Gimble at the 9:30 Club with Warren Hood opening for Gary Clark Jr. Amazing guitar player, great songwriter, great singer, and in Boston as well. You don't know where yet.
I could look at my phone real quick and tell you.
People can look it up. Google it. Hey, if you're going to see Gary Clark Jr., get there early. My brother lives in Boston now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I don't know if he'd go. I told you, like, he doesn't have music or anything. He's like, oh, I don't know why you like music so much.
That's awesome. That's a great quote.
Yeah. I don't know. Don't. He says things to me like, I was in Miami in January, and we were together, and we're driving around, and he's like, does it ever bum you out that you never made it?
What is that?
Well, I've had this conversation with people, because to him, you're either like Skrillex.
Yeah.
Or you're not. Yeah. You're nothing.
Right.
That's, you know what I mean?
Oh, man. Yeah, I was having a talk with Georgia and Eric about this last night. You know, it's like, what just the measure of success? It's different in every person's eye. It's, you know,
we make a living
subjective to every person. Yes.
Yeah.
We do.
That's a success.
Yeah. And what ends up turning into success for a lot of artists ends up, you know, artistically ruining their career.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Look at Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to get tweets about that.
Uh-oh.
Dude, my dad is friends with Billy Joel. I got that once when I wrote something on Facebook. Dude really wrote back, Billy Joel's a really nice guy. You shouldn't.
And there are exceptions to that. Sure,
but
course.
Yeah, but they're, you know, yeah. Yeah, there
when
is.
People get sucked into the beast, you know.
And we do live in a world where we do make a living, and we are in a community where we are recognized as musicians, and like, you know, oh, this guy's a, you know, right. I mean,
yeah.
You're at shows and people, oh, can I get my picture with you or something? Right. And that wouldn't happen like if you were in,
right.
You know, Tallahassee or something.
Right.
So we do live in a world where people do look at whatever, you're just making music.
Right.
It's not a matter of if you're, you know,
yeah.
On The Voice or,
yeah.
You know, on MTV or a show that has music.
Right.
Something.
Yeah. And those shows... And sometimes people come out of there and it's, well, not never anybody that wins it, but you know.
No, but someone like Kelly Clarkson, I mean, that's someone that I look at and I say like, hey, okay.
Yeah.
That was a good thing.
She did. Yeah. She
turns out she was an artist.
And has a great voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
But most of those people you never hear anything about. Like, I don't know.
No. And the sad thing is, it's so, you know, here... We are part of a community where people make music for music's sake. Like you and I could get, you went and played that Todd thing. I go and play that Todd thing. Mm-hmm. We don't get paid. You know,
it's
we get a gift certificate to do a thing, but we go and exchange music together more than like how much are you going to get for this thing or that. And those shows are like just a giant, all it is promoting an artist before they put out a record.
Right.
Because the people that own the show own the artist. Own the record, you're basically showcasing this person and basically doing this. I mean, they don't say that it is, but it's literally a test marketing.
Right.
Okay, this person, they didn't vote for this guy, so he's out of there. They vote for the person that gets the most votes, then they put out their record, and that person spent the last 6 months on TV, so everyone knows who they are.
Right.
And they blow up. I guess like Adam Lambert? He sang with like Queen and stuff, but like he's kind of
well. It's all just, those guys. It's the same kind Clarkson. Of thing to me that I don't watch the shows anymore. But when I did, mm-hmm. when someone would first come on, and you would see who they were when they try out, right?
Yeah.
And then by the end of the show, they've molded this person into what they wanted them to be instead of what that person would actually develop to be.
Right.
Which the voice is different because people come on there like Susanna or Nikki and they already know who they are and there's no stopping that.
Right.
But the
ones where the kid comes in like from working at, you know, Chili's or something and you can see them become more Hollywood and be more stylized.
Let me mold you into this country artist. All right, now go out into the factory or whatever, you know. So it's just it takes something that's precious and untouchable and tries to make it into something and it's not, you know.
Yeah.
For me, that's what it is.
But. Well, you know what? I'm glad you're who you are and I'm glad that we finally met.
Me too. This was really nice.
This has been a great time.
Yeah, totally.
Is there anything that I'm missing? Anything you want to tell the people? They can follow you on Instagram.
Yeah, follow me on Instagram and Facebook. Woo!
Yeah.
And I'll say something funny every once in a while.
Do you?
I don't know.
I don't follow a lot of Facebook stuff. I post up, but I don't really go on there and read a lot.
I just, you know, every once in a while I think it's something funny, I try to put it up there.
Okay.
See if it'll make somebody laugh, because that's important.
I'm going to look out for it then.
Okay.
Because I like to laugh a lot.
It's good for you.
It is good for you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Emily Gimbel. I'm really glad that you were here. And tell Warren I said hello. And Gary, I said hello.
Cool,
and,
I will.
All the cats.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Emily Gimbel, heading out there with Warren Hood. All right, tune in Friday. We will have Warren Hood on the show, and all the stuff that you heard about him, you will hear him talk about himself and all that stuff. I'd like to thank Emily for coming down. She's a great, great, great musician and a great person. I liked getting to know her a little bit, and I hope now we're friends. I think that's what's going on. Friendship with me and Emily. I'm waiting for my mix CD. So, you guys, she said she was going to make me a mix CD of that 30s music. So if you guys see her out there, tell her, hey, don't forget Johnny's mix CD. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Do not forget to like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? Also, you can follow my antics and, of course, keep up with my beard on Instagram and on Twitter. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. All right, let's have a little bit. Here's Emily singing with the Warren Hood Band. All right, let's get down.
But I'll take